As we know, adults with obesity have an increased risk of premature mortality, cardiovascular disease, some cancers, type 2 diabetes, and many other diseases. There's evidence that dieting can help reduce those risks, particularly when it comes to diabetes. But what about the big three? Mortality, cardiovascular disease, and cancer. Surprisingly, there's only been one systematic review and meta-analysis to pull together all the evidence on that. That was until a new one published on BMJ.com this week. Welcome to the BMJ podcast. I'm Duncan Jarvis, multimedia editor here. And on the line, I'm joined by Alison Avenell, clinical chair in the Health Services Research Unit at the University of Aberdeen. Alison also treats diabetes patients at Aberdeen Royal Infirmary and was one of the authors on that article. Alison, thanks for taking the time to talk to us this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Now, you've done this systematic review and meta-analysis looking at the long-term effects on all-cause cancer and cardiovascular mortality of various weight loss diets. But before we get into the sort of the guts of the actual meta-analysis that you've done, I think it was interesting in your cover letter, you said that there were surprisingly few meta-analyses that have actually been done on this topic, which I found surprising. I would have thought that this was a great area of interest. Why is that, do you think?
I think one of the reasons is that most of the evidence in nutrition and weight management has been long-term data from epidemiological studies. And so people have probably thought that there wasn't enough evidence available to do a systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And so it would be difficult to find the evidence from trials. Although we do know that weight loss trials have clearly shown that one can prevent type 2 diabetes, which is a very important risk factor for cardiovascular disease.
And why was it that now you decided to do this meta-analysis? What triggered it?
I suppose we were partly triggered by the fact that Krzyzewski had published a meta-analysis in 2015 looking at the effects of weight loss interventions on mortality. And that review had 15 randomized trials. And I knew, because I maintain a database of randomized trials, that there were many trials which had not been included in that review. And therefore, potentially, there was the ability to do a much bigger systematic review with more evidence, and also try to tease out whether there were any influences on cardiovascular disease or cancer. And I suppose I particularly have a bee in my bonnet about chasing down investigators for data that may not necessarily have been published. And so with the help of Chen Han Ma, who was at the time of doing the review, a medical student, we set about really trying to be as thorough as we could at unearthing as much data as we could to inform our review.
Great, thank you. Now, in that review, I think maybe it's good to now talk about what you were actually looking for, and importantly, what you weren't. So what was your research question, and what was it that you decided to leave out of this?
So our research question was, for adults who are obese, and that would be defined as a body mass index of 30 kilograms per meter squared or more, so that's a measure of obesity, which is defined as your weight in kilos divided by your height in meters squared. For adults who are obese, two long-term weight loss reducing diets with or without physical activity advice or programs, do they have an effect on mortality, any cause of mortality, cardiovascular disease mortality, cancer mortality, or developing cardiovascular disease or cancer? So we try to be as all-inclusive as possible in terms of the populations that were studied. We took trials in any country, any age group, people with or without pre-existing disease, men and women, to look and try and find as generalizable an answer to the effects of weight loss studies. And we looked at any kind of weight reducing diet, whatever its constituent parts. We would include diets which had very low carbohydrate intakes, Atkins-type diets, conventional low-fat reducing diets. We wanted to ask the question primarily, do weight loss diets, the fact that people lose weight, does this have an effect on the outcomes I've specified?
Thank you. And it's good to look at that, obviously, in the round. When you went and looked at, for the research papers, the RCTs that you based this on, how good were they? And what kind of things were they looking at? I'm wondering about, you know, RCTs are expensive to do. They're often quite short. So long, you know, good follow-up can sometimes be hard to find. So, you know, what kind of data were you able to actually pull out of these?
So I think actually we were quite surprised that we managed to find as much data that we did. I think anybody who does systematic reviews knows that you always get a mixed bunch of trials. And it may be in some of our trials, we did have to go and ask investigators for more information, because essentially a lot of the trials, particularly the smaller trials, were presenting the kind of outcomes we want, such as people dying, people having heart disease, as adverse events that were sort of buried away in the appendices of the trial. We were quite impressed with what we managed to find. In terms of the weight loss studies, yes, weight loss studies have a particular issue that participants get lost to follow up. If people don't do well in weight loss studies, they obviously don't want to continue with the studies, and so the investigators lose sight of them. We did various subgroup analyses when we looked at measures of quality in those studies, particularly around randomization. And those didn't convincingly show a difference according to whether there was good randomization in the trials or not. So we did our best to try and disprove our hypothesis, but we didn't have a lot of evidence that would undermine the results for all-cause mortality.
Thank you. Great. So, as always with meta-analyses, the way they're done is complex. It's good to be able to see all the trials that you decided to include and the ones you decided to exclude for quality reasons or whatever else. And all that information is available online for free, so everyone can go and have a look at it, and I would encourage them to do that. So if we sort of jump through then to what you actually found when you started crunching that data, can you take us through the results of your analysis?
Yes, I suppose we did manage to locate data from 54 randomized trials. So that's a really large number, involving over 30,000 people. And so for our main question, with regard to all-cause mortality. We found that there was an 18% reduction of risk of premature mortality from people following a weight loss diet. And if you want to translate that into other numbers that people might find easier to understand, that's if you had 1,000 people, then possibly 6 people out of 1,000 might be saved from having an earlier death. But the confidence intervals for that could range from 2 to 10. So they're still a little wide. But nevertheless, there appeared to be a true effect from weight loss diets in terms of reducing premature mortality. So the data for all-cause mortality had the biggest numbers, and so we had the most statistical power to look at that. But for cardiovascular mortality and cancer mortality, we had much fewer studies. And similarly for cardiovascular events and cancer events, fewer studies. There was much more uncertainty about the results. So we weren't able to demonstrate an effect that would have reached statistical significance for those particular events. And that's not to say that there isn't an effect, but we might need more data from trials to be able to demonstrate that. The effect may be small. We had fewer trials that actually presented those outcomes. The trials tended to just give data on mortality without specifying the reason that people died. So it may be that that is partly related to lack of reporting of detail for those studies. I would say that for cancer in particular, cancer is a long process in its development, and maybe it's rather optimistic to expect that actually a weight loss diet would influence the development of cancer in the relatively short term over a few years. But there are trials ongoing which are looking at the effects of weight loss diets in terms of influencing the prognosis of people who have actually already got cancer. So there is interest around that, but we didn't look at that as part of our question. We were interested in looking at deaths from cancer as a very blunt instrument, and also whether people developed a new cancer.
Thank you. I want to pick up on some of the points there about the data that you found and that you were able to sort of investigate. But before that, how does what you gleaned from this meta-analysis, how does that fit into the picture of what we already knew about the association between dieting and mortality?
Over the last 10 years or so, there's been a lot of discussion about at what level of obesity one really starts to experience an increased risk of various diseases. And there was a lot of controversy a few years back about a paper by Fligal, which suggested that perhaps one's BMI could be as high as 35 before one started to really run into problems from obesity. More recently, the data has tended to suggest from epidemiological studies that the optimal BMI is probably as low as 20 to 25. But there are, again, epidemiological studies, particularly for people with cardiovascular disease who've had a heart attack or cardiac failure, which suggests that actually weight loss may be a bad thing and that may be associated with premature mortality. So actually weight loss per se in people undergoing cardiac rehabilitation has not really been much of a focus because of that, I suspect. So also we know from epidemiological studies, these would tend to suggest that obviously if you act to prevent obesity, then one would hope to prevent the diseases that have been shown from epidemiological studies. But we haven't really known that if people undertake a weight loss diet, that would actually benefit their health, apart from preventing diabetes and various other outcomes. But in terms of things like mortality, we haven't known that actually this might have an effect in preventing premature mortality. But I think it's useful additional information to what we have already. Particularly, there's a huge debate about the funding of services for weight management, whether they actually are useful in terms of helping people's long-term health. So it all adds just a little more information to say, well, actually, this could be a useful thing to do.
I mean, you've talked a little bit about this there, but we've had debates in the journal about the usefulness of some nutritional epidemiology that's done. You've been specifically in this looking at RCTs, but by looking across the literature, you would have looked at other things as well. And one question that you, as you said at the beginning, weren't answering was what kind of diet is good for this. And yes, it seems that the diets that you, or the studies that you included, were skewed more towards low-fat, low-calorie diets than something like, say, an Atkins one. And I just wondered if you had any observations about the data, the studies that have actually looked at those different kind of diets, and why it was that that your sample ended up being skewed in a particular direction.
Yes, but I mean, obviously, because I look across the literature and keep a database of long-term randomized trials, I have a feeling for all the trials that are coming out. And the vast majority to date really have been roughly around the use of low-fat, low-sugar, high unrefined carbohydrate type diets. The issue with, I suppose, the fact that we had only one trial that didn't really look at that kind of diet, I think relates to the literature in terms of trials. People have asked the question, is a low-carbohydrate diet, such as an Atkins-type diet, better than a conventional low-fat-reducing diet? And so it's one diet versus another diet. And of course, in our review, we were looking at the question of randomized trials of a dietary intervention versus a control or usual care intervention. So we wouldn't have included ones which compared two kinds of diets for that reason. Okay, so that's one reason. But there are relatively few trials, and certainly no big trials that have looked at, for example, Atkins-type diets. So I don't think we really haven't got enough information to know what those kind of diets would show in terms of morbidity and mortality. There was a review comparatively recently, a systematic review by Tobias, which showed that actually the lower carbohydrate diets, maybe not as necessarily as strict as Atkins, tended to produce better weight loss. But for our review, we could only be guided by what the investigators used. And as far as we could tell, and I went through all the trials and looked very carefully at what they reported and chased back through their literature when they said they followed other people's guidelines. As far as we can tell, the trials almost entirely used a low-fat, low-saturated fat, weight-reducing diet. So we can't answer the other questions about other kinds of diet.
No, of course. Just interesting that that's the way the literature has kind of fallen out at this point. I suppose things might change in the future, and then meta-analyses might be updated. You've kind of alluded to this a couple of times, but I think it's a question that we at the BMJ are very interested in, which is, as someone who's trying to get the data underlying some of these studies to be able to put them into a meta-analysis, lots of people we talk to find that very difficult for a variety of reasons, commercial incompetence data. Sometimes researchers are just unwilling to give it up. And it sounds like you've done an extra amount of work to be able to actually get enough studies to pull this meta-analysis together. So how difficult was that? Did you find it particularly taxing?
Very time consuming, I would say, and sometimes frustrating. I mean, the vast majority of the studies that we have in the review are not commercial. So we weren't having to ask companies. It was generally individuals who were in various weight loss centres, particularly in the United States, who had funding from the National Institutes of Health or various other places. So we didn't include drug-related weight loss studies at all in the review. So we were probably a bit lucky in that respect, because it was probably easier to get the data. We did have to keep pursuing people to try to get the data. It was quite frustrating sometimes, because there were one or two really old, quite big studies where the data were easily 25 years old and were no longer available, but probably would have been very helpful to the review. And it is a bit of an issue for weight loss studies, I think, as time is going on, because they're unblinded. And again, this might have been an issue in the big look ahead study from the States, because they're unblinded and people in the control group know their controls, and their health professionals know their controls and not getting the weight loss intervention, there may be a propensity for those people in the control groups to perhaps get a little more medication for lowering their lipids or their blood pressure or controlling their diabetes. And because nowadays we have quite effective medications for those things, particularly lipids and blood pressure, which we know have effects on cardiovascular disease, that it may be over time becomes harder to demonstrate an effect of diet and weight loss interventions on its own. And so there's old trials where there weren't effective or so effective treatments to offer people who might be in the control groups are actually very important, but the data may be gone. So that's kind of sad, actually. Yes, I mean, we went after people assiduously to try to get data, and Chen Han particularly was extremely persistent at trying to extract data from people. In fact, we're planning to write up a separate paper about how to try and locate extra data from investigators in trials. And one just has to have a high index of suspicion and just keep asking people, send emails. If they don't provide clarity with their data, to keep going back to them until you hopefully eventually get what you want. But there are some reporting guidelines, I think, which could be strengthened in terms of reporting adverse events in trials. I think people in weight loss studies themselves could actually improve the situation. Quite often we came across people who'd written in the randomized trials that people had such and such an event, but we did not think this was related to the intervention. Well, I think they shouldn't use that. I think they should allow other people to judge whether they think this could be related to the intervention. And I think they should always try to publish adverse events associated with weight loss interventions so that other people can collect that information and look at it in more detail, because we know there are so many conditions, diseases that have been associated with obesity. So it's really important to try to see if weight loss trials and studies are actually having an effect on these conditions.
You've been listening to Alison Avenell talk about the research effects of weight loss interventions for adults who are obese on mortality, cardiovascular disease and cancer, a systematic review and meta-analysis. That's all for this episode. We'll be back soon with more. In the meantime, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. We're available in most places now. Rate and review us. It lets us know what you like and it helps other people to find us too. If you want more, you can find our full back catalogue on bmj.com/podcasts. Literally hundreds of episodes there, all available for free. I'm Duncan Jarvis. Thanks for listening.